This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today we're talking to Too Hot to Handle star Harry Jowsey. We talked to Harry about how he even got on Too Hot to Handle, how his life flipped upside down after hitting 2 million followers the same day he hit 1 million. And of course, we talk about his relationship with Francesca and if he ever sees a future with her. But first, Eric, let's chat a little bit about the biggest news right now. Chris Harrison officially fired. Is that the right word? Fired? Did he get fired?
I would say he was bought out and hushed. I mean, $10 million, I'd probably go away and not say a fucking word myself either.
At least $10 million. I feel like it might be closer to 15, 20. They said eight figures.
Oh.
Yeah, they just said eight figures. So I think it's closer to 15, 20, which isn't, I mean, he deserves that. I mean, the dude was there for 19 years from start to finish.
Yeah, he was there for 19 years and realistically worked 3 hours probably.
I don't know. He was an executive producer, though. Especially at the beginning, he had a lot at the beginning. I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like those first like maybe 9, 10 years, I bet he did quite a bit. So I think he deserves that.
If you were in his position, would you ride off into the sunset with that and be okay?
He'll get another gig.
Oh, no. He's already kind of on what, Shark Tank? Isn't he doing Shark Tank right now?
Oh, I didn't even see that. I don't know. Yeah, he's riding off the sunset out of Bachelor Nation, but the man's going to get a hot better. Honestly, he'll probably get a better high-paying job now. Like, I think he'll get a better gig than he did at Bachelorette, which is insane to think because that gig was amazing. But I think he'll have a better gig.
That was his gig.
Mm-hmm. He'll be all right, to say the least.
He won't be a free agent for long.
No. I feel bad that this is the way it ended for Chris. Now, did he deserve a lot of the criticism he got? Yeah, he made some mistakes. But honestly, he was going to phase out anyway soon. I just think it's sad that he didn't really get that farewell. You know, I think he did do a lot for this franchise.
Yeah, he didn't get to go out on his own terms.
No, exactly. It's kind of reminds me of like a superstar athlete who gets something, you know, something happens, or an injury, let's say, and he doesn't get to go out with that farewell tour that Kobe got, that Dirk Nowitzki got, like all these star athletes got. So for that, I think it sucks because I do think maybe he deserved a bit of a thank you from a lot of the fans of the franchise, but that didn't happen. And on to the next.
Yeah, which will be interesting to see if they keep this path with previous contestants or they find a new lead host.
That is the million-dollar question. I think they're going to find a new host. I think they're going to find one singular host to continue doing basically exactly what Chris did. I don't know if they can do this back and forth thing where they have celebrity hosts or old alumni hosts. I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll pick a host, maybe even for Michelle's season. We'll see, though. A lot up in the air right now in Bachelor franchise, man. A lot.
Still has to be Ben Higgins.
I think it's Ben. I know.
But yeah. he is like the one person who's groomed and has experience.
So we'll see. There's a lot up in the air right now in Bachelor Nation. And then, guys, tonight, if you are in Dallas, come out, play a little DJ set at Bloom Sporting Club down there in Dallas. Going to be a fun little Thursday night, ladies' night out there at Bloom. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to be in Dallas all weekend, Thursday to Sunday. Maybe hit Brantley Gilbert concerts.
We're going to go to BG's show Friday. Mm-hmm. NASCAR races Saturday.
NASCAR races with Rowdy. Rowdy energy out there on Saturday. Yep. Have you been to a NASCAR race before, Eric?
I haven't. It's a bucket list.
Me neither.
Amazing things, just like the roar of the engines when they're on the turns. And, yeah, it'll be pretty cool to see. And actually, feel. I think you feel it more than you actually see it. Like, I think I might have to go get some earplugs for this.
Like, I don't know what to expect, to be honest. So it's gonna be hot as hell out there, I think. But
yeah, look for, I'll be in a hoodie.
Fun little weekend in Dallas. Looking forward to it. And
let's go Team Bush.
Yeah, Team Bush, baby. And then I'll see you at Bloom tonight.
I'm really excited for this episode, man. What perfect timing to have Harry on with all the shit that came out with him, or Francesca dropped last week. So
yeah, this is Harry's first interview since the Francesca reunion, I guess. The Francesca and Harry reunion. This is the first interview he's done since
reunion, then tell all from her.
Yeah. So
his rebuttal, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. In a way, it is his rebuttal. And it's a good one, guys. You're not going to want to miss this.
It was a fun one.
Yeah, it's a fun one. Harry's an interesting cat. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into our interview with Harry Jowsey, Behind the Rose. Actually, Harry, dude, how do you say your last name, man? I meant to ask
it's Jowsey, right?
Jowsey, yeah.
Jowsey, yeah. Fuck, dude. I knew that. Okay, let's try that again. And today.
Oh, no. You fuck. You get me all the time.
We'll leave that. Harry, man. Dude, thanks for coming on, dude.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Dude, absolutely, man. I meant to ask you that before. Fuck. Good start. That's a good start.
This is actually because we have a player on the Denver Broncos that spells his name just like that. And it's his first name and it's Jowsey.
Jowsey, yeah. So
just no way.
No, man, we're excited to have you on. So thanks for coming on. All right, where are you right now? Are you in LA? Where are you at?
Yeah. I'm currently in LA in Beverly Hills. I'm extremely tired.
Yeah.
So that's why I look like I've been hit in the face with a shovel.
Do you spend a lot of time in LA? Like, is that kind of like your home base?
Yeah, I get very stuck in like a routine, and I kind of hate like I love like hold up, Jacob, can you just jump in the other room? Sorry, okay. One second. Just go in the other room. Oh, he's grabbing some snacks. Sorry, my boy from home is here. He's not used to this stuff. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, where was I?
Yeah. At least he's dressed.
No, he just put a shirt on. He's like, you on a podcast? Put a shirt on. And it starts getting very loud snacks. I spend a lot of my time in LA because I'm kind of like stuck in this routine. I like getting out a lot, but I just also hate, I think I get a little bit anxious now because like obviously the show and there's a lot of eyes and I just don't know. You know when you used to just get like super fucked up with the boys and have a good time and you can just wild out, maybe whip your dick out of the bar. It's like you can't really do that anymore. So it's like, well, you can.
But well, it's
like,
funny. Blake still does that.
I don't have quite as many eyes as you, but I get anxious as well. So I can't imagine what you get.
Yeah. So I kind of just like stick to my little routine. And I think I've just been so focused on business right now. So I'm like, okay, well, I just need to stay put in and keep running it up.
Yeah, so you're a busy man. Yeah, you got a lot going, man. Is it wild now what your life has turned into, man? Like, that's got to be such. I mean, I also, like, you know, coming off the Bachelorette, like, I had a little bit taste of what it was, but yours is like world fucking wide, man. And like it, overnight.
Yeah. And it's just, your show was just right at the start of lockdown. And it was like the whole world is
everybody's watching you.
I always feel bad because I'm like, damn, like the lockdown and quarantine was the best thing that happened for me. And then I was like, oh, I shouldn't be saying that because it's like a very sad and like terrible time. But like realistically, because obviously everyone was home, everyone was like plugged in and everyone was like focused on, you know, what was going on in the drama. It is so crazy dating now. It was hard, and I'm not sure if you guys seen the drama, but me and Francesca tried to give it another go.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's just every time I've opened Instagram, bro.
Well, we tried to give it another crack, and obviously it's very hard with public opinion, and I'm not sure what her motives were. We're still trying to figure each other out, and then next thing you know, we got paparazzied, and then it was posted everywhere, so we were just like, fuck it. And then it was just the same old shit again. It was just very toxic and very like, it's so difficult. And this is what I was saying to her, like a relationship between two people, and it's very hard when it's like the whole world's like putting all their energy, or like all these people putting their energy on like Harry's this, Harry's that. Like today I read a story of some gossip page telling me that I was in 11 like 2 days ago just making out with a girl. I was like, damn, I haven't been to Miami in a minute, but I wish that was me. Like, they should have got a photo. But just because I look like every dinner, like, huh?
Love 11.
Yeah, apparently it's a good
dude. I know, it is crazy, and people get so invested, man. Like, all they care about is like your guys' relationship. They either want it to work really bad or they don't want it to work, and the pressure is just, I can't imagine, man, what the pressure is like.
It's bizarre, but I also couldn't imagine like going on The Bachelor. That shit, like in The Bachelor, like that shit would be crazy. I couldn't imagine being the one person having to date like 20 people. But I guess it's like another day in LA, but also it's like a lot of people are watching and you have to be like mindful of how you talk. Like, whereas here people can just wild out a little bit.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, it's, I think dating in the public eye is literally like one of the hardest things ever to do. And then breaking up in the public eye is fucking brutal, man. I've actually never really had that. I've always been the heartbroken guy. So like, yeah.
Well, you just got dumped on national television. You didn't have to do it afterward. Yeah.
Man, you got a good, That's all I'm telling.
We'll be right back. Yeah, so I can't imagine what that's like, man.
Yeah, bro, it's difficult because also there's so much you want to say. Like there's so like, and here's the thing that I'm sure that not a lot of people understand is that in these situations you're only seeing like 10 to 5% of what's actually going on, and it's the hardest thing when you're reading comments saying, "Oh, Harry did this or she did that," and it's so difficult because all I want to do is like type a message back like, "This is actually what happened," and then I'm like, "Well, if I do that, it's going to start an avalanche and she's going to go this way," and it's horrible and it's so difficult because like usually in a relationship, and I was explaining to my friend Jacob, who just left, the one with the loud snacks, it's so easy when it's just like normal before, where you could just put, "Okay, cool, like I'm dating a girl and it didn't work out," we'd chat shit to our friends and then we break up and we don't see him again. But now it's like, "Okay, cool, like we broke up," and I chat shit to my friends or like drop a comment somewhere. And then it's like, "Okay, cool. Like that just landed in E! News. And now like everyone thinks you're a piece of shit." So it's like, "Okay, cool. Like it's so difficult. You have to tread so lightly." And I think I probably needed it because it helped me make me mature a fair bit and not, just say whatever that was on my mind. So it's
I was going to say, I feel like you've done a decent, I mean, you've done a pretty good job, especially lately, man. Like, I feel like you have like reeled it in a little bit, you know? And so hats off, because like you said, it's not easy.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's really
it's also a lot. Cause I don't think a lot of people might realize like, yeah, you're only 23.
It's crazy.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's at me at 23. Fuck. Yeah, man. Yeah. I couldn't be in the public eye at 23. Jesus.
Right. But also, yeah, like, especially in a relationship, like with that much attention, there's also like the most attractive people in the entire world trying to get in on it and like trying to like ruin it or like clash heads. So you're also just like, "Holy shit, is this the right decision? What's going on? Like this girl I've had a crush on for years, the Instagram model, is now like in my DMs and wants to hang out." And I'm like, "Oh, this is bad."
Yeah, I really hate you fuckers. Like,
I was gonna say, dude, I'll never forget. I was following this one Instagram model, man, for like 4 years. The night of the finale of The Bachelorette, man, she slid my DMs. I was like, "Is this my life now? Like, is this my life? Like, is this what my life?"
That makes me so happy.
It's a weird feeling.
And Harry, you set the bar really fucking high.
Me?
Coming off of the show. She's one of the most gorgeous fucking women I've
met. Eric's a big Francesca fan.
I think every straight male in the world is.
Yeah, no, she's a good sort. She definitely is very attractive. I don't know how I did it. I really don't. Like, it's very bizarre. I think it's just because I made her laugh and then I've got an accent, so she doesn't know what I'm saying, and so she just thinks I'm saying good things.
That's all it takes. Make a girl laugh, man. And you're 6'5", so like, bro, you had a lot going for you. Let's be honest.
Well, I was also short on that show. Like the other boys, like 6'6", 6'7", and they actually were built, and they look like linebackers. Whereas I was just like some scrawny little Australian guy just being a dickhead.
Well, you did damn well for yourself, man. You did damn well for yourself.
Thank you so much.
So, man, do you ever like make it back to Australia, or are you pretty much in the States now?
Oh, I haven't had a chance to get back for like 2 years. So I haven't seen my mom. I haven't seen any of my family because obviously, first off, my mom's health isn't amazing, and my brother's health isn't amazing. Like he's got type 1 diabetes. So my biggest fear is, okay, I travel home and, you know, God forbid I get COVID on the way back and then I see them and then it's game over and then everyone's infected and stuff like that. But I've been wanting to get back for the longest time. I've just been talking to my mom about it, and just because there's also like a 2-week quarantine and I'm not very good with being cooped up in a room for 2 weeks, like a hotel room, and they come check you. Like it's super strict in Australia. So I'm kind of just like, wait, like holding off a little bit, but yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, that is, because that would be horrible if you got COVID, man, and then you went down there and like you accidentally gave it to, like, that'd be brutal, bro. But I bet you're missing, you're missing Australia. How long, because you grew up obviously out there in Australia, in Brisbane, right?
Yeah. So I was in this small country coastal town called Yeppoon, which is just above Brisbane. So like, I always say Brisbane because it's the easiest one for people to remember, but Yeah, and like I grew up on a farm, so it's way different to living in an apartment in LA. Like I grew up with a bull called Nigel, and I'd go feed him mangoes like every day.
No shit.
I was going to ask you at one point, like, yeah, you owned a fucking bull. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he wouldn't let anyone get near him. He would charge them. But when I come out with my mangoes and like fruit, I'd just paddock with him and we'd just hang out. It was a good time.
So I grew up in a small town in the mountains. I had like 1,000 square foot treehouse and shit. So like growing up out there, like that must have been a pretty cool childhood. Like
you had a treehouse?
Yeah, man. I had a giant treehouse. Yeah, up in the mountains and stuff.
Damn, you must be the coolest kid.
Yeah, I was the coolest kid, man. All the kids want to come play my treehouse and shit. Yeah.
Sick, dude. That's great. I want a treehouse now. Imagine how romantic that would be to have like your little treehouse. Like, oh, here's some candles.
Dude, that would be dope.
Just don't knock them over because we'll burn alive. But like, that'd be so romantic.
There's some Airbnbs out there and treehouses out here in Colorado. You can like rent an Airbnb treehouse. Yeah, really? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Actually, I've seen it out there.
And next year I fall in love with it, I'm bringing her out there.
There you go, man. Treehouse. Hell yeah. But I mean, it must be pretty cool to live on like a farm growing up, like in Australia. Like that must have been pretty dope, right? As a kid.
Oh, bro, it was really the best thing for me. Like I learned to just enjoy being outside and like having animals. We had like 12 chickens named Margaret, like Bella and Buzz, our pigs. We had like. My mom just collects horses. Like she just collects it. Like she just, for no reason, she's just like, oh, that horse looks like it needs a new home. Boom, we'll just put it on the farm. Like she just has all these animals just because she loves them. And we had like 5 dogs. So like coming here is like completely different. And I really miss like how disconnected and like connected to the earth and like everything that's going on. Like back there, like that's how, like here, I feel like I'm very digital and like focused on business. But once you get back home, like, put your feet in the sand, like let your titties out. It's such a good time.
No, absolutely, man. I bet. So how long did you live in Australia before you left?
I grew up there, but I got kicked out of school in Australia. So I had to go to school in a different country. Oh. And then I came back and then I got kicked out of home. So I just started traveling when I was like 18. I just went to Europe and London and just worked and tried to figure out life. And I think it worked out.
Yeah, okay. You did all right.
Yeah, I think you're doing okay for yourself.
So you did like a little eat, pray, love, like all over like Europe and shit, just like finding yourself at 18. That's dope.
Yeah, I had to, because I was one of those 18-year-olds that thought I was like invincible. I was like, oh, I'll fight anyone. I'll do anything. I don't give a fuck. Like no one's going to knock me down. And then I went to London and through Europe and I realized that like I'm actually not invincible and that there's bigger, badder, scarier people and that I don't have my shit together. So that was like, the best thing that happened to me was just to get out of the nest and like go figure out life.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, that had to be a huge learning experience for sure. I'm 32 and like, I wish I had done something like that when I was younger, man. You know, I feel like I would have matured a lot quicker for sure.
Yeah, you have to, but I'm still immature as fuck. So I don't know how, where I'd actually be if I didn't do it.
Kind of be fun to see. So when did you make your way to the States, man? Like at what point did you do that?
So as soon as we finished filming the show, I was like, there's not really many opportunities in Australia and New Zealand for TV stuff. And I was like, Netflix really isn't, like, there's not much going on in Netflix in Australia. So what should I do? I need to follow the opportunity. So I had like no money. I was put all my money into my online business, my sunglass company, and I was trying to figure out how to get by. So I was doing as much as I could. And then I just sold all my shit and I was like, fuck it. I need to just go to LA. So I sold everything. Me and my best friend, we packed up our stuff. We moved out here and then we just started like hustling, grinding, trying to like figure it out for like 6 months. And then the show came and it just changed everything like overnight. And then everything's just kind of been like pretty sick.
Okay. So you moved here after filming, but before it aired.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I also wanted.
So this is all within like the last year and a half, 2 years then.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really wanted, cause what I value the most is like networking and getting in people's faces and like talking to people. And that's kind of what I love to do. I love to meet new people. I love to get out and about. So I was kind of just like, you know what? I need to get at every party. Like before I even came to the city, I think it was like the first weekend, it was like Summer's birthday party. No one knew who I was, nothing like that. But I made sure I went out of my way to make sure that I could meet people and like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And like, lovely to meet you. And then by the time the show came out, like all these people, like really close friends and everyone, like I know who's cool and who's not and who to trust.
It's huge.
I was very like busy with networking because I that's just what I love to do.
That's huge, especially in LA, man. Like if you got to make sure you're in the right group out in LA because you can lose yourself pretty fast out there. So it's cool you had that before. Yeah,
that's my passion too, is networking. I've been networking since I was like 15-16 years old with professional athletes, and I made sure when I was younger, like you, up everywhere. always be out front. Always be where everyone is.
Because you really can't put like a price on face value and like meeting someone. Like you can shoot an email, you can shoot a DM, but you really can't put value in just going up and talking to someone in their face.
Amen. Yeah. And yeah, I'm sure that was huge because when the show aired, before we get into that, let's back up a little bit. Cause I think some people, I mean, the casual fan maybe doesn't know, but you were actually on a show before Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah. And you,
and you crushed that too.
I was on fire and they just fucking sold that show to Discovery. So I'm like, yo, where's my fucking bag?
Yeah. Where's your, yeah. You should get some royalties off that. No shit.
Right?
Yeah. I was like, I know you sold that show to me.
Yeah.
Heartbreak Island come through.
Yeah, for real.
Honestly. But yeah, no, that show was very bizarre. It was really just like a mix of Big Brother, Bachelor in Paradise and Survivor. Like what are we doing here? And I kind of just went on and I just had a good time. Had a really enjoyable journey on there on that show with those people. And then it kind of just like opened up my mind. Like what I really want to do is like, I really want to entertain people and watching people's reactions to the show and everything like that. Like after we come off of it, I was like, damn, this is fun. Like making people laugh. I don't know if it's at me or with me, but as long as people are laughing, then I'm happy.
No, absolutely, man. And do you think your experience with Heartbreak Island helped you when you were not only applying for Too Hot to Handle, but once you were on it, do you think it helped you quite a bit?
Absolutely. Like 100%. I feel like I definitely had cheat codes because I knew what to expect. I was like, these shows are just big personalities chucked in a room and we're not really meant to like each other because everyone's got big egos and we're all a bunch of dickheads. So I was like, we're all sharks on an island. I may as well just not give a fuck and go with the flow. And that's kind of like how I got through without like imploding or like getting in my own head. Like, oh, she likes me. Does she not? I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to enjoy myself. And I'm here to try and find a girl. Like, I think that was the biggest thing that I went in on for 12 to Handle was that I was so focused on like, I'm here to find love. Like I'm here to genuinely find like a real person. And whereas like the other guys were like, oh, we're here to like have like with the boys that like, come have meetings in the morning. I was like, bro, I don't give a fuck about the boy shit. Like I'm here to fall in love with this absolute mamacita, like 10 out of 10. I was like, I'm going to have a meeting with that. I want to have a meeting with her ovary. I don't want to go and have a meeting with the boys in the morning. I don't care. I'm not here for you. I'm here to get her pregnant. End of the day.
I'm gonna put a baby in that.
Legit, I already said, I was like, if you got pregnant, wouldn't it be crazy?
Oh, that's great. Well, that was the right mind frame, man. Fuck.
It worked, I guess.
And what was that challenge? Like, wasn't there like a challenge where you guys couldn't like hook up or do something on the show? And like you broke that immediately.
Yeah, fucking.
When they told me,
that's like on Seinfeld, the jerk off bet.
it was, I cried.
I'm out.
Yeah, no, it was wild. It was when they told us the rules, I legitimately cried, like, because I had a few drinks as well. I was just like, hey, get me the fuck out of here. Like, you put the hottest girl in front of me in my entire life, and I know how I feel about her, and my genetics, everything my ancestors fought for, is telling me that I need to reproduce right now with this person. And I can't do it. I'm not allowed to do it. I'm like, how dare you? That's disrespectful. Is what I was saying. I was like, disrespectful. Send me home. If I can't have sex with a person, if I can't marry her, then I don't want to be here. And they're just like, hey, you need to relax. Like, it's not. They're like, it's the first day you have to get to know her. I was like, I know her enough to know what I need to do.
Listen, I'm in love. Okay. I know it already. Like, yeah.
That was the 22 year old Harry.
I was 21. Yeah,
damn. That's wild. You were 21, man. So you guys literally had no, like, what did they tell you the show was when you got down there?
I swear to God, the casting process was so bizarre that I thought I was walking into it just an orgy. I was like, this could be for porn. Like the casting process was like, oh my God, how have you ever had sex with? Like, what's the nastiest shit you've ever done? Have you ever like sucked off a dude? Like, well, I was like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? Like the crazy shit. Like, oh, like, have you ever had a threesome? What did you do last night? And at that point, when I was answering all these questions, like I was on my biggest hot streak. Like I was having a different girl every night. Like I was on my fuckboy shit. Like it was legit the worst version of myself. Like, cause I was living with my best friend, Christian, and he had a girlfriend at the time. Mm. And I swear to God, I had 7 different girls over. It was 8 different girls over in the week. And so I was on this hot streak and they're just like, this is the type of guy that we need.
Yeah, they were probably like, "This is our guy." Like,
yeah. Like get him on first flight out.
But that's so cool that you could like admit that. You were like, "Damn, man, like, listen, I was that guy." But obviously, you've grown a lot from it, which is pretty cool and everything.
I say that, but I asked my ex-girlfriend. She still thinks I'm a piece of shit. So I don't know. Like, I.
So she recently said.
Yeah. Yeah. She recently went in on me.
So when you got down to the beach, though, and you figured out what this show was, I mean, obviously, you're like, let's get the fuck out of here. But you stayed. It had to be incredibly difficult. Like, how was the environment with like the other guys and everything? So I did Paradise and it was a total fucking shit show. Like, I had the worst time of my entire life. Like, it was horrible for me. Like, it was just hell on earth for me. So like, what was the vibe like with like everybody else? Was everybody losing their minds? Like, what was that like?
Or was everybody jealous of you?
No, I think that was a massive component. Because like, obviously, Francesca, absolute bombshell. So I think everyone was just like, there was a component of like jealousy. Like, damn, I wish that like I had that, or I wish I had that, those type of feelings that going for me. But like, I come to realize that like in my head, I was like, I'm not going to win the money. So I don't care about it. So I'm just going to have a good time. But I think everyone else was like in their head, like we've already won. So the more that you fuck up, like you're fucking up our money. So they were getting mad at me because I kept saying, I was like, is the money in your account? No. So don't worry about it. Like, and they're just like, no, but you're going to ruin it for us. And I was like, I'm here to find love. I don't care about money. And then I kind of just really pissed off like a lot of people. But then like whenever anyone gets angry at me, I just laugh and I try and make a joke out of it. So then I get away with it and I have an accent. So I'm like, you know what? I just have to play to my advantages and it works.
Yeah, you just charm them a little bit. You just throw in that charm, the Australian charm. And yeah. It's over for them. Yeah.
And I'm sure most of your castmates have monetized.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Point. So it's like that money was kind of joke. Was a joke.
I think everyone's done okay. But that's what I said to them. I was like, look, like you understand, the more money you spend on the show, the more money you're gonna make later on. So don't worry about it. And everyone just really couldn't see like the big picture. I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna have a good time.
No, absolutely. So did you guys have any idea what the show was gonna be? Like, did you have any idea how much it was gonna just completely change your guys' lives?
All we knew is that it was for Netflix. And I was like, Netflix doesn't do reality. And they're just like, yeah, well, they're filming like a handful of reality shows right now. And yours could be the first one ever to be on Netflix. And we're just like, shit. In my head, I'm like, damn, this is huge. Like, this could be huge or it could be a flop. We had no idea. And then it was actually meant to come out in December before COVID and everything like that. But they delayed it because I think they were trying to get like Love is Blind. They had Love is Blind, The Circle, and then Two at the Handle. So it really played in our favor to see kind of all that happen and it be delayed. Like, I was kind of obviously upset because I was like, damn, I want to be, you know, I want everyone to know who I am. I want to do all this stuff by December. But it was really the best thing for me that it kind of got delayed to when it got released.
100%, because it did get released like the beginning of quarantine.
That was within like the first like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I remember turning on. I was like, something new to watch. I was like, I've watched everything else, you know? I was like, fuck yes. Yeah, man. That's wild how that worked. So perfect for you guys. That was awesome.
Yeah, bro.
And that's like a good fucking show.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a brilliant, like you said, like everything in your body was like, I need to fucking mate. Like, it's a brilliant show, man. It's brilliant.
That's what you want to watch as like a viewer. Like,
bunch of hot people like that can hook up. Like,
not even just hot people, just anybody. Yeah. Like, throw anybody on a beach in that situation. Yeah.
The workshops that they made us do as well, like they were just hell. Like, you know, like we're tying each other up and we're like, you can imagine, because in, you know what it's like on a show, like when you're in a show, like a day feels like a week. Like, there's just so much shit that goes on within a 24 hour period that it takes so long to process in your head. So like a week is like a month. So like when you're in there and like, oh yeah, you don't have to have sex like 4 weeks. I'm like, motherfucker, that's like a whole year. Like, I'm locked in. And then you're doing like little like workshops where you're tying each other up, and like it was so bad because when I was tying Francesca up, she was like grabbing my dick, and I was like, "Hey,
my God,
how dare you knee or back me?" And we were meant to be angry at each other, and I was like, "Yeah, I was like, we're meant to be angry at each other, but you're gonna make me bust in my pants on camera. I'm gonna be so embarrassed. So please stop this."
That's funny because I remember when I was on The Bachelorette, there's just one fucking girl that we're all concentrating on, but I remember it got to the point where like, I remember we were all sitting around breakfast one day and we were like, do you think they're slipping something in our drinks? Like, have you guys like gotten hard at all? And like, not all of us were like, no, it's been like 3 weeks, man. Like, I haven't even woken up with a hard on. We were like, they're slipping estrogen or some shit. Cause we would only see Becca like, you know, once a week sometimes. So like all it was just a bunch of dudes. So it's kind of funny that you actually got to interact like every day. Yeah, man. So we, sometimes we'd be like, they're slipping estrogen or something in our drinks, like something's fucking wrong, you know? And then, like you said, there's no routine. Everything's fucked up. You're eating like shit. Like, it's just all fucked up. Like, our bodies are just fucked.
That's crazy.
This is so different, these shows.
Yeah, I was like struggling to not have wet dreams every night. So I feel sorry for you. Like, I'd wake up and be like, sorry, guys, I mean, I just have to have a shower. And I wouldn't go down until like lunchtime.
That's fucking great. It's a lot like paradise, I guess, kind of in a sense. But the difference too, what you just talked about, obviously, like the Bachelorette and Bachelor are a big deal. So like, I kind of knew coming off, like there was going to be some hoopla and all that. But you, like, it was a brand new show. Like, that was the first season of that. So it's kind of interesting that you kind of didn't know what to expect. We'll be right back. And then all of a sudden when it hit, man, like, what did your life turn into, dude? Like, overnight, right? Like, overnight. Because you could binge the whole season in a couple hours.
It was nuts because, like, the first – it dropped on the 17th of April. And I remember watching, like, my story videos. And because I screenshotted everything because I wanted all my close friends to just watch the process with me. And I remember I was sitting there. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I had 100,000 followers. I woke up and I had 170,000 followers. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, oh, damn, maybe the show's a hit. And then I started, like, I jumped on TikTok. And every time I post a TikTok video, I jump 100,000 followers. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But it got to a point where I didn't know how to process the amount of information that I was getting from my phone, that I just, like, got an overload where I just, like, my blood pressure went up. I went super red. I had to have, like, a Xanax. I had to have my friends, like, calm me down and put my phone away because it was, like, so overwhelming. Like, the day I hit 1 million followers was the day I hit 2 million followers. I woke up and was like, here's 1 million followers on Instagram.
Holy shit.
And then that evening, it's like, oh, I check it. It's 10 o'clock at night. It's like 2 million.
Whoa.
Like that type of, like, absolutely insane growth, like unheard of. Like, I was even showing my friends in, like, FaceTime, and they're just like, bro, I have no idea. Like, I post a photo and I have 100,000 likes in like 10 minutes. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I'd be sitting there. I was like, this is just absolutely. And it just doesn't feel real. Like, it still doesn't feel real. Like, I was just at the Grove with my friend, Jacob, and he hasn't seen me since the show aired. And we haven't seen each other since the show aired at all. And, like, we'll be walking around and people were asking for photos. And, again, it's just so weird. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, even when I'm in Tulum, like, I'm like, hey, like, we just have to be, like, a little bit cautious. Like, if you're going to be, like, spraying people in the face with a bottle, like, they're going to turn around and be like, oh, it's that big dickhead Harry. Now we're going to, like roast them online or censorship to TMZ. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we just, like, it's very bizarre. And it's also made myself, like, very hypersensitive of, like, my impact, my legacy, and what I do and say online. Like, whereas before I'd comment, like, whatever I wanted, or I'd talk shit, or I'd post a story about this, and I just think of a fuck. But now I have to be like, okay, there's people that, like, genuinely, like, look up to me. Like, I've had a guy, this was the crazy thing, when I had a dude come up to me, he's like, hey man, really look up to you. I think you're a great dude. And I was like, shit, that's fucking right. Nuts. I've never had that before. I was like, dude, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I didn't mean to do this. Please don't look up to me. Like, I'm a terrible role model. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm the same age as you. But yeah, it's just been a very crazy and bizarre, weird journey. But it's also like, kind of just scratching the surface, because obviously, like, and I'm not trying to sit here and if people listen say that, oh my god, I'm fucking Justin Bieber level, because I'm definitely not. It's just like very bizarre to have a number one show in the world for 2 weeks, like the entire world, 2 weeks, and then just like finally be able to step outside and just get kind of like attacked, or like have to be careful, like, if you're seen.
Yeah, I mean, you're a brand now, you know what I mean? Like, overnight, you're a brand.
It's crazy, bro. Like, and it's very, very bizarre. But I also, like, I feel sorry for, like, other people on my show and, like, people in this space, because I said to them, I was like, you guys need to, like, set up, you know, you need to set up a business, you need to make sure you have merch, you need to have, make sure you have, like, say, a podcast or, like, a YouTube channel, because end of the day, these fans, these followers, these people from the show don't actually know you. Like, as you're, you know, probably well aware, like, the reality TV spike is up and down. Oh, like, yeah. It's like straight away, your show comes on, you're the man. It goes off, you're like, and it's just like slowly simmers for a while. So I was telling everyone, I'm like, hey, like, the best thing you can do is get a podcast. The best thing you can do is get a YouTube channel, so people can really understand and, like, learn who you are and figure you out. Because, like, a reality TV show is like X percent and the craziest percent of your personality. Whereas, like, there's moments like this where you can sit down and have a conversation and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like the biggest thing I focus on as well, coming up the back end of the show. Is I was like, well, I need to have, you know, merch ready. I need to have long form content ready, and I need to make sure that there's like enough areas. So say if you look at me on Spotify, if you look at me on Twitter, if you look at me on YouTube, that you're going to find a video that I own.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you've done a great job, because I remember watching the show and I would like refresh all of your guys's, and I was like, just watching your numbers fucking pile up. I'm like, man, I hope these guys know what they're doing, because it does die. It goes away pretty quick. You know, at least the engagement, especially like followers, it will slowly, but your engagement will drop dramatically, you know?
Yeah.
It does seem like reality TV. Yeah. Cause it's just a consistent revolving door, especially like the Bachelor franchise. You know what? There's 4 or 5
shows this season. Yeah. This year. Yeah. There's 2 Bachelorettes, a Bachelor, and then Paradise. Yeah. So it's just,
and then like Winter Games, Summer Games, if they throw those in the mix. Yeah.
Fuck me, man. That's wild. See, that's why I like so blessed to be on Netflix. Cause like, obviously when the next season comes out, yours is still there. So you can be like, oh, watch season 1 again. Like that's what I'm doing.
Damn, that's true.
When the new viewers come on, they're going to go watch yours.
Yeah. Well, like, also, like, I'm not sure if you looked at my Instagram, but the bold writing on your Instagram is, if someone searches that up, you come up. So, like, I changed it right away because I know the new season's coming out. So, like, too hot to handle Harry. And then, so I just, when the new season drops, like, if someone looks up Too Hot to Handle, I'm going to be the top person there.
Interesting. That's brilliant, because it is very different, because people don't really care about Bachelor like 3 years ago if they watch The Bachelor now. You know, they rarely go back and watch. Yeah. We're Too Hot to Handle will be different because it's on Netflix and this new. So you're excited for this new season to come out because it's going to help you.
Here's the crazy shit as well. It's like, I just have the mindset of like abundance, right? Like there is, I find that like a lot of people on these shows, even people my season, were just, oh my God, the new season is going to suck. This is, I hope it does terrible. It's like, why? Like this.
You don't want your franchise to fail.
Yeah, you don't want it to fail, because if it goes really well, like that's better for you. And there's so much abundance. Like, okay, there's so much exposure. There's so much audience. Like the next season is going to, people already know what it is and they're already excited for it. So like, be excited for the new people that are coming on. Like, I hate the mindset of like scarcity, or like, this is mine. Like, this is my project. It's like, we're just contestants. Yeah. Like, we're just people on the screen that had a good time. You should be very excited for the next people that come on. And I was saying, it was like, look, like if you're really worried about like your followers or your fame like disappearing, just go collab, or like actually work hard towards maintaining this audience and like keeping people engaged with your content.
Yeah, there's enough love to go around. There's enough money to go around. You know, so I always say, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, that's cool, man. When does that new season drop? Actually, pretty soon, right? Like,
yeah, I think it's late June. So
yeah, it drops pretty soon. So I'm pumped for that, man.
So obviously, you'll be tuning in on that.
Dude, you need to do, so I do live watches. I do live recaps on my Instagram each episode. And it gets, I mean, it's my best engagement of the year is when I do those recaps, man.
Yeah. People love that type of stuff as well, because they also want an opinion to be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like I agree with them. And like, now I want to keep like moving forward.
Yeah. And some cool behind the scenes shit and stuff. Yeah. People love that stuff. So you should maybe do something like that. Maybe on your, I don't know if you have all in one of the Twitch, I don't know, whatever the fuck there is these days. There's fucking everything.
Yeah. I don't know what 3.6 million person has.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you do much like hosting or anything like that? Is that something you'd want to go down for the Bachelor?
So I do some stuff like that. Right now I'm actually DJing, man. I'm DJing all over the country right now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we're doing a big festival in San Diego. It's a little south of you, but like with Chainsmokers, Bryce Vine, Blau.
Damn, I'll be there. Yeah, for sure. I'd love to.
Send you some info about it. Blended Fest down in San Diego. It's going to be dope.
Blended Fest. Damn, that's sick. Yeah, I'll be there for sure. That'd be crazy. I love Drew from Chainsmokers. We always trained together at our gym. He's a good kid.
Yeah, I'll slide in your DMs.
Yeah, just don't send me dick pics. All right. I'm
not. Yeah, I was going to say also before we get out of here, got to touch on your castmate, Chloe.
Oh, yeah, on the new show.
She crushed it on The Circle.
Here's the thing. I haven't seen it.
I haven't either, actually, I'll be honest. Oh.
I heard she's done amazing.
She just kept it real. She was herself. Like, I love her. She just like doesn't give a fuck.
Well, she's just such a good like ball of energy and, and love and like innocent, like in so much innocence, but like also just like just such a light. Like I really enjoyed like having like filming the show with her, because like me and her would always just go off in our little chats and like our energy would just bounce back and forth off each other and we'd just go crazy. But she'd always like have my back, and I'm genuinely like so proud of her, and I'm sure the other cast as well. But like I just think that she's really just said fuck it and gone for it. So I'm like really proud of her to just get on another show and keep the wheels world's moving, because it's not easy.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, it's actually really hard to get on another show, to be honest. And then not only get on the show, but also like kind of like try and put that what happened on the last show behind it. But she kind of embraced it almost. Like you said, she's more herself now than ever before.
Yeah, and she went to like the final three on the show.
Crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We did
yeah.
well.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you in touch with a lot of your castmates still, like here and there?
No, I think you'll probably know the same. Like it's, again, like it's very big personalities and it's very difficult to like a lot of people from these shows, because it's like, okay, all you know is from this person is that they're competing against you to win, and that's it. So there's always like that element of like, he can't do better than me, or we both started here. So I just always felt like there was an element of jealousy, and there's always an element of like, what can I use him for this? So I've just kind of just been like, I'm going to stick with what I know. And that's my friends from back home. That's my friends that were with me since Heartbreak Island, since I was at university.
Your day ones.
Like I always keep in contact and like message him and like check in here and there, but yeah, but it's not like I'm going to go out of my way and like fly to London right. and like hang out with like Corey and shit. Cause I'm like, we're just different people with both different interests.
That's actually really true. Cause your cast was like all over the world too. Like ours is just, you know, Bachelorette's just here in the States normally. So it's kind of interesting. You would have to fly all over. You know? I got a couch to sleep on basically any state city I go to in the States. So it's kind of dope. I always have somewhere to crash. Yeah. Yeah. So that's nice. Cool. Well, before we let you go, man, I got some questions from the fans. We threw some up with questions. Every single damn one is about you and Francesca. But I do have a question for you, because I've always wondered this, because I'm kind of starting to phase out of like the show a little bit. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go back on the show at any point. But this pic you posted with Francesca like a week ago or whatever it was, man, when you saw that engagement, man, when you saw like what that picture did, what did that do to you? Were you like, damn, like I really want to give this a shot, you know, like one of those, like I know you guys were in love and I know that I could see that, but like it had to be kind of strange to see that like 1.3 million likes or something on that photo.
Bro, it's just funky. Right, and we posted a whole bunch of TikToks together as well, and each TikTok got like 10 million views. I was like, Jesus. Man, this shit is just like unheard of. But we were like, it's good, like again, like it's really exciting to see like how many people are supporting the relationship.
Yeah, they want to see you together, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and they're genuinely like excited and like what's going on here, and like the engagement is crazy. But also I'm like, it's a dangerous drug, that shit. Like it's a dangerous drug to be like, okay, cool, like damn, like this relationship got 1 million likes, because then the next girl you date is going to be like, damn, if we post a photo together and it doesn't get that many, like, they're going to feel shit.
That's so true.
It's like, it's very, and also like, it's obviously like seeing the likes, it smashes your dopamine. You're just like, damn, like this is crazy. This is awesome. And then like, some people can get into the point where it's like, they do it for the wrong reasons, or they want to post it. They want you to post a video for the wrong reasons, or they want you to tag them for the wrong reasons. So it's good. And I genuinely posted that photo because that's where we were. We were in Mexico together. It was my birthday and I was really happy. I was like, damn, like
you're just in the moment.
Yeah, I was like, I've got my best friend back, and like we can post a couple pics together, and she was cool with it, I was cool with it, and then it just went fucking bonkers,
broke the internet,
and yeah, and then now it's just all crashed and burned, so fuck it.
We tried to do it the right way, and then it's still fucking crashed and burned.
Yeah, it's still burned. Yeah.
And Blake was just with his lead a couple weeks ago. What is your guys' engagement?
Not quite as much as him. I mean, I got tagged in quite a bit of shit when I was with my bachelorette like a week ago in LA, and it blew up a little bit.
All of Bachelor Nation wants to see him and his lead together.
Yeah. So I kind of, that's actually true. We're kind of similar in that sense, I guess. Yours is on a much bigger platform, but so yeah, way bigger. So I don't think you and Francesca will ever not be a thing, you know what I mean? Until like you are with someone else, right? Like I think that'll be, what do you think? When do you think you guys will or won't work?
It's hard because like any person I post a video with or a photo with, it's like instantly compared. And I've been with, you know, I did a TikTok with Chantel Jeffries and everyone's like, oh my God, it's you just want girls that look like Francesca. I'm like, it's fucking Chantel Jeffries. Yeah. Like it is arguably the hottest person on earth, she's walking on this earth and she's probably the hottest person ever to grace earth. And I'm like, why would you even compare anyone to anyone? I was like, she's a great friend. She's a great person to meet. So it's been difficult because it's like, I can't post anything because there's so many ride or die fans for me and Francesca's relationship. And so they compare it to stuff, but I don't know what's going to happen with me and Francesca. I personally think, and this is super exclusive, that there will never be a relationship with her ever again. I've mentally and emotionally disconnected from everything that's gone on, just because I understand that, like, the public and what's been sent out and what's been shown is a mere smidge of what's actually going on behind the scenes. And I've been doing my absolute best to keep it private, keep it respectful, and keep it like my involvement to a bare minimum on the outside. So from everything that's going on behind the scenes, and even today, like, I got a very big text. I know that I love this person and I love what we had, but I just know that in this lifetime, it will never work because there's just so much shit that we have to work on, and there's just irreversible damage that's been done. Like, I can't take a step back and put myself through what's going on. And that's not to say that I'm perfect, because I'm not. There's so much shit that's happened, and again, smidge compared to what's actually going on. So
it's definitely not the worst thing moving on.
No.
And I've been in a relationship like that where, dude, it's just like something happens and it's just like that was it. Like, that's like, I can't look at your name or whatever it is. Like, I've been there, man. I know what that's like. So yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You guys had your run. It was good.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, damn, like, there's just so many good memories. And now we know, like we've given it a red hot shot, like a red hot go for like 3 or 4 times now. And over the 3 years that I've had her in my life, it just hasn't been.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just like, I was reading something online where you have like, there's like 3 loves in your life. There's your first love when you're growing up. That's like puppy love and whatever. Then there's a second love where it's like, kind of like super toxic, abusive, and aggressive, but like, mm-hmm. you just keep getting drawn back to each other. And then there's your third love, and that's the person that you're with forever. And it's just, it all makes sense. So I'm like, okay, well, I feel like Francesca's just number 2. And it was just clashing heads all the time. You know, and here's the thing, like, the relationship behind closed doors is absolutely beautiful. Like, it's stunning. Like, we're always laughing, always having a good time, like running around like idiots. And she makes me feel like a kid. Like, I always laugh and I giggle and we have just such a good time together. But as soon as there's a little hint of public attention, it just gets nasty and vile and goes back and forth. So I'm just assuming, I'm hoping that Chantel Jeffries is my number 3.
There you go.
You're leaving it open to go on a third dating show.
Well, if I could be the bachelor, that would be.
Here we go.
Hey, okay, deal. I know some producers, man. We'll throw you out there.
Right, I couldn't imagine the absolute chaos of me trying to date 20 girls. I'd pull my hair out, but it'd be a great time.
Dude, I would fucking watch that season. Holy shit.
There'll be 30 fantasy suites in the first week.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'd have to do my due diligence. I'd have to go through.
God, that'd be fun. Yeah. You know what? I'll run it by them, see what they say. I'll run it by them.
Right, that would be hilarious.
Oh, yeah, man. I would fucking love that. Well, man, I'm rooting for you. And I definitely think the fact that you're so young, dude, you're going to be huge. You got a lot going for you, man. So I'm excited to see what you got next. What do you have like coming up next? You got anything like you want to tease or you want to talk about? Anything like that?
You have an album dropping.
No, I'm trying to figure if anyone wants to make it a sex tape.
Why haven't you done OnlyFans?
Yeah, your OnlyFans would fucking Jesus.
I do have OnlyFans that crushes. You should get on it. It's fucking crazy.
Fuck, man. Yeah. That's just wild.
Shit, you two together.
Yeah.
And if there's enough money in it, man. That accent. No.
It's a different bag.
No, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on, man. This was super fun. It was good officially meet you.
Nah, thank you so much.
And we'll let you know when I'm playing out in San Diego or in that area, man. We'll let you know for sure. So.
No, but it'll be sick. I'd love to come down and I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.